That Don't Sound Right is a podcast about talking. Talking the way we did before the internet, when you could not prove anyone right or wrong.
All the expertise was contained in the people involved with the conversation. I'm Peter.
I'm Cecil. And I hope you enjoy our conversations. And as you listen, if you find yourself silently saying, "That don't sound right," send us a comment. You're one of us.
This is the most political we'll get on That Don't Sound Right.
That's right. And hopefully we haven't riled any feathers or...
So who are you voting for?
Welcome back to another episode of That Don't Sound Right, a podcast about talking. We're your co-hosts. I'm Peter Billman.
I'm Cecil Davis.
And we're just trying to have a conversation without Googling or fact-checking. Those things can so easily kill a conversation. I can think of another thing that can kill a conversation.
What's that?
In fact, I can think of something that we can cut our listenership in half.
What's that?
Why don't you tell me who you're going to vote for? But you know, actually, I was thinking about that's actually opposite of what we want.
Of killing the conversation?
We actually want to encourage that kind of conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I am so easily prone to hearing someone's opinion who's 180 degrees from me and just blowing it off and saying,
shutting down.
I'm not even. But really, the response should be curiosity.
Absolutely.
Why would they think that?
Right.
What's important to that person?
Ask a few questions.
Ask some questions.
Walk a mile in their shoes.
So, but that brings up an interesting topic, which I think don't sound right.
And this was given to us weeks ago.
Yes, it was given to us, and they suggested we talk about it, and we thought about it. I thought about it some, and it just don't sound right that we put up all of these paper and cardboard campaign signs everywhere.
So we're in the big election cycle this year.
Sure.
In America. A lot of seats in the House and the Senate will be up for election. A lot of governorships and the presidential election is this year. So you see signs already. And so this is March.
We're in the primary.
Almost in March. Yeah, yeah. So already January, February, March, a lot of signs, a lot of roadside signs. That is odd that we still use a sign stuck in the ground.
I mean, it's like a for sale sign.
Yeah, it's like a for sale sign. And, you know, I mean, really, if you were interested in someone, you could go online and see their entire platform. You could read about them. You could get to know their family. They might have a podcast. They probably have an IG account. But yet, we're still sticking signs beside the road.
You know, I don't know if you noticed that. So coming down Silas Creek, which is kind of one of the main drags here in town, just as you get to my street, which there's an overpass, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's just a whole line of campaign signs. And I don't know why they're there.
At that spot. Do you think campaign signs beget campaign signs? Like if someone sticks one there, then the other person feels like they got to stick
one
there?
Wouldn't that be an interesting thing to try? I think I have some old campaign signs from my neighbor.
And just stick them.
We should stick them somewhere and see if someone else puts their signs there.
That would be a good experiment.
That would be an excellent.
Now, you came up with a great way to recycle used campaign signs.
Tell me.
No, you did. You wanted to use them for a door panel.
Oh, right. So some of these signs are paper.
Yeah.
But these days, they use this plastic corrugation. So it looks like corrugated cardboard, but it's corrugated plastic. So it's rigid. And it's waterproof.
Yeah.
And so in old cars, what they used to do is they literally used cardboard.
Yeah.
And covered it with some kind of vinyl fabric. And
that's what I just pulled out of the 61.
Is that right?
Yeah.
As a good replacement for that, I figured, well, you can use this corrugated cardboard. And guess when the best time is to stock up on plastic corrugated plastic.
Right after the election.
Right after election.
I should have waited because I tried a piece of really thin wood and that didn't work. So
I remember you tried though. What happened?
I ended up using like a poster board, a really heavy poster, like you're talking about, a corrugated plastic.
Yeah. Okay.
I should have waited till the election. I could have had all I wanted.
Yeah.
So now, but the proliferation of signs has resulted in I don't think you can damage any signs, right? That's against the law.
I think there are some rules against that. I haven't looked them up, but there are definitely some rules where you can put them and where you can't put them.
Yep. You can't take them down.
If they're not yours.
If they're not yours. And then after the election, in Winston, I think you have like a certain number of days to take them down or you're fined per sign.
And I did help some candidates because they weren't taking them down. And, well, I don't want them to get fined, so I took them.
Oh, good for you. You're a good citizen. Yeah, so
but there are some, just for the record, there are some signs are better than others.
Oh, absolutely.
Some are still cardboard with a kind of plastic coating, but you want the corrugated plastic. That's the good stuff.
Usually they stick with a pretty simple pattern of red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Occasionally you'll see someone try to stick their face those are a little, but usually you're sticking with the primary colors, something that's really eye-catching. Maybe a slogan, a short slogan.
You wonder where the printing presses for these things. I mean, how early do you have to order these signs to get them made in time? Are they made locally? I mean, I know there's, I used to go fishing with a guy who works at a printing press here locally. And they, one of the things that they made were all the boxes for cereals.
Oh, really?
So they would print, those were the kind of things that they were printing all the time.
Would they print political signs?
I didn't ask. I don't know if they did. Yeah, I mean, the machine that he was running was huge. I mean, it was strips of cardboard in order to make boxes. So I don't know if you could handle something as big and clunky. But anyway, where do you get these signs?
Right.
And how much do they cost?
Yeah, like I wonder how much of a campaign's money is spent on just roadside signs.
And the question is, do they work?
So that's a great question. Does it work? Yeah, does it work? Here's how I think it works on me.
Yeah.
So normally I'll research my candidates. I'm only going to research so far down. I mean, like in a year, like this year, there's going to be a lot of people to vote for.
So when you say so far down, like how low do you go?
Sometimes I get down to the judge level.
Do you really get that low?
But sometimes.
You got to go. I mean, that's you got to get that low.
Not all the time. But I mean, I'm not like looking at the soil and water conservation guy.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's like the last one you vote for.
Right.
And you can write people in for that.
And do you see many signs for
this? You never see anything for the soil and water guy. If you get in there and you get stumped on a candidate, and you've seen a bunch of signs, boom, and you have name recognition.
There it is.
It's hard not to do that. I mean, you're being completely, I'm being very honest now.
No, I mean, and I think that's exactly how it works.
I think so too.
It's exactly how it works, that I don't think the average person does the research that you do.
So I actually campaigned for an office.
You campaigned?
Yes.
You ran for an office?
Yes.
This sounds like another episode.
It does sound like another episode.
What did you campaign for?
So I campaigned to be on the North Carolina Board of Pharmacy.
Well, okay.
Which is an elected office, but it's only limited pharmacists to electeds. So if you're a licensed pharmacist anywhere in the state, you can vote. So you don't have to vote just in your district.
Okay.
So there's one for, you have representative from different districts, but the whole state votes on that district.
Okay. All right.
So I learned very quickly, you have to have name recognition.
Yeah, right, because no one's going to research the pharmacist club.
Yeah, and so if you're someone working in Murphy, you don't know who I am.
No, not at all.
And there's no way for me to go put a sign outside your pharmacy, so,
So how did you?
I lost.
Who'd you lose to?
Someone with a lot of name recognition. And what I was trying to do was get my name out there, and we were doing it through Instagram and that sort of thing. And so name recognition is a big deal.
Is this recent?
Instagram 8 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So it wasn't Instagram. I guess it was Facebook at the time.
All right.
Yeah, we were using Facebook.
We learn more about each other every time. Now this is something we do not share in common. I have not run.
So I ran for office. So that's an elected position, but it wouldn't be like a political office.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that was my little dabble into trying to run for a statewide.
Now, I had aspirations to do it only because my neighbor across the street, he was running for, I think, state representative.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was running for state representative and he was in the primary and he lost the primary.
Mm-hmm.
But so then that means he couldn't run as an independent.
Okay.
But then there was no independence.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have gone unchallenged didn't have to worry about the primary, but he ran under, I forgot what party. Well, I said, well, let me do it.
As the independent?
As the independent, because all his signs were Pete. Not his last name.
Right.
I think it was Peter. Forgot what it was, but vote for Peter.
Yeah.
And he had red and white signs.
Right.
I said, let's do this. I will be the one who runs.
Right.
But I will do as you say. We will set up a puppet regime. And I will just do your bidding. Because you're the one who, you're the politician. You're the one doing all this research. You're the one. And I will just vote as you tell me to vote. I will write the bills. You tell me the bill.
Yeah.
The bills I, you know, I need. How would a Peter puppet regime?
That'd be it. That'd be hard to say.
We didn't pull it off.
So I think that's one way the signs work.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, it's just pure name recognition. It sticks in your head, and you go in, and you get stuck.
I'm in it.
Right. And you see Pete, and then you see Pete on the ballot, and you're like,
Pete's
a good guy.
Yeah, Pete.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with Pete.
But I think that's why you have people campaigning as you're walking into the polling place, too.
Right.
They're trying to give you that last minute.
Yeah.
And if, you know, probably people have made up their minds about the big elections, but man, I think you get down a couple levels.
You can make a difference.
Yeah. We had one politician here in the city, and I met him a few years after this. But the first year that he ran, he went door to door in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
That made a big impression on me.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Just they took the time to like walk down the street like that and meet people, just going out to people's houses and meeting people. That was impressive.
That's hitting the street.
That's old school campaigning.
Right.
That's shaking hands.
Did you vote for him?
I did.
Oh, good, good.
That's shaking hands and kissing babies there, man.
That is. Did he ask if he could put a sign on your yawn?
He did not. He just came by and introduced himself. All right. Yeah, and he really didn't campaign. Like, he wasn't, like, high pressure. He just was really just...
This is who I am.
Yeah, this is who I am.
I'd love to have your vote.
Here's what I... Yeah, loved... Yeah. It was very... that's what I should have done when I ran for Board of Pharmacy. Right. I should have gone pharmacy to pharmacy...
Yeah.
Across the state and just introduce myself.
You could have done that.
I did. In retrospect, I was like, that's what I should have done.
Ah, all right. Okay.
So I didn't realize that you had that you almost ran as independent.
I almost ran. Yeah. It's part of a puppet regime, but you know, what?
Yeah, still.
You know, that's all right.
So what's the other reasons for these signs? So do you think that the signs, do you think the election would be the same without the signs? Do you think there's enough votes that the signs garner that it swings the election one way or the other? Yeah, just roadside signs.
Yeah.
Not other forms of
right.
campaigning, but just the roadside sign.
I think then wealthier candidates have a better shot than candidates with less money, because then you're just going to do something different. You're still going to get your name out there.
Yeah.
And signs are probably one of the easiest entries to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe your next thing is mass mailing.
Right.
Emailing is, you know, you just got to get the email list. You have to buy an email list, but you could do an email list. I think you'd probably see a lower variety of candidates. I don't think you'd see as many candidates running, because only the ones with the money that could afford this more expensive mode of advertising. I think that's the only one that they could do it.
I think for a local candidate, it's probably very important. Like for city council, school board, those are probably very important.
Yeah. Judge.
Right, judge.
Sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
I think those local elections, I think you're right.
Yeah. I think
if we banned any signs for presidential candidates, it wouldn't even make anyone blink.
Right. But right, you probably wouldn't see the, because that does, like for judgeships, a lot of times the judgeship signs will stick in my head, and I'll start researching them or asking around. The other thing is it just reminds me to vote.
Oh, seeing all the signs out there?
Yeah. It's just like, oh yeah, this is, I mean, not that you can miss it in America when we're having the presidential election, but.
But the primary is easy to miss.
Primary is easy to miss.
Especially on the odd years.
Yeah. Oh yeah, on the odd years, it's very easy to miss.
Right.
And I try to vote in the odd years.
Yeah, I voted, yeah. Me too.
So I try to be consistent with it. Do you ever go to like hear a stump speech, or you ever go to?
You know, I've never been to a campaign speech before. I really haven't. Have you?
I've been to a few.
What's that like?
It's weird. So like I've seen several that are in a setting where they're visiting a certain group.
Okay.
And so they try to tailor their stump speech to that group.
Right.
but it just comes off super weird because they're trying to get you your vote, but they're also trying to make you think that you know they know something about what you will, you know, what you care about. And so, you know, someone, especially the lower ones that don't have really good speech writers, you know, it's just like, oh, hey, we're here today at, you know, let's say it was people who make
pharmacists.
Yeah. And so it's like
one of your trade,
trade
associations.
And so they're trying to throw in a, you know, pepper a stump speech with a few, you know, hey, you know, we're worried about the clawback fees, you know, and so they will throw a couple things in there that make you think that they care. But
then they'll throw the pharmacist and engineer run into a bar.
Right. Yeah. They'll throw a few jokes in there and a few hot button issues, but really they don't probably know much about your organization.
Right.
Yeah. They're just trying to do this, you know, get money, get the
vote. That what you've been to? Is that what the kind of
stump speeches for at organizations where, okay. and you can tell they don't, you know, I can't blame them for what they're doing. I mean, they can't know about every profession. They can't know about every group. And they're having to hit a lot of people just to get enough money to get in, you know, get elected, money and votes.
I wonder how they get the word out that they're going to be somewhere.
Well, in some cases, I think they get invited.
So, like, you're someone in your pharmacy trade organization is a supporter of a particular.
Yeah.
And this particular politician generally makes laws that favor pharmaceutical pharmacists as yourself. So they invite them, hey, come and listen to this guy. I think he represents us well.
Right.
I see. Okay.
Because at the end of the day, that's what you're hoping for, is to have somebody in the office that represents your organization well so that you can get legislation passed that helps benefit what you're doing.
Right.
And so what you're doing, typically, and so I've had limited exposure to this just through lobbyists and also, you know, like legislative days where we go up as a group of pharmacists to the legislature and you have your appointments with your local representatives. And so you're trying to make a pitch for whatever you're doing that year, but they don't know anything about what you're talking about. You're educating them.
Right.
You're lobbying for them. And so you're telling them about, you know, for 1 year we were doing immunizations. So we're trying to get rights for immunizations for pharmacists. So you're going and telling some guy or girl who knows nothing about what you're doing and trying to convince them that you're right.
They probably already thought you could give immunizations.
Right. They're like, yeah, what do you mean? You can't give immunizations?
Right? Yeah. You can't give me a shot?
And the people coming in right behind you, so the medical group might be coming right behind you going, hey,
those guys,
you're going to kill everybody in the state if you let them do that. Right. And so it'd be hard, man. You've got people doing that all day about a huge range of issues.
Yeah,
So you got the forestry people coming in going, hey, you know, we need to manage this land more properly. Then you got the environmentalists coming in behind them and going, hey, we need to protect the land. And you got the pharmacists coming there wanting to be immunized. And you got the medical guys coming in going, those guys are nuts. And then
you got the plumbers saying, we need to drop the regulations on plumbing.
Yeah. And then you got some big company coming in. It's like, hey, we want to build a plant in your state.
$2 billion.
We'd like $2 billion to do that. And so, all you know, these guys are just inundated. And these women are inundated all day with people trying to convince them, hey, this is right and this is right.
And they still have time to make campaign signs.
And stick them in the ground. And, you know, and I guess they just amass an army of volunteers to come and get those signs.
True. Have you ever volunteered for our campaign?
I have not. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Probably should. And
I just don't know.
Yeah, I've never been
that passionate about anyone being elected to an office, I guess.
That would be a fun thing to be on, though.
What's that?
I just think the buzz of it all.
Uh-huh.
Especially if you could be, you know, if it was a big campaign or something like that. It'd be fun.
Especially if you're on the winning side.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun to work in D.C. too for a year or two. Work for somebody.
Yeah.
For, you know, work in the Senate.
Like it'd be an advisor or...
Yeah, now it'd be like if you could be an advisor, be part of a think tank. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Think about some of the issues, come up with solutions. Then you have to go convince somebody. You know, then you're back in
back to lobbying.
Yeah. But
that's what you got to do. Well, when it comes back to these signs, these campaign signs, it does kind of trigger a thought to me.
What's that?
Let's put some signs up and see if signs, at a minimum, do signs beget signs?
I think they probably do.
Let's try it.
We also should put up some that don't sound right signs.
Well, here's an idea. Well, just for our own advertising, right? Not we're not
no, just for advertising. Yeah,
we're not running for office.
Right.
Hey, I think I'd like to do something this summer.
What's that?
I think I'd like to have the overpass tour. The overpass tour.
What's that?
So what we'll do is we'll go to overpasses that have like a sidewalk. And we'll drop a banner off the side of the overpass so cars can see it.
Right.
Right. And while we're there, we'll record an episode.
That's a good idea.
Don't you think? Yeah. And we can go to different overpasses around the state.
Have the background noise of the cars
whizzing by. Maybe someone honks the horn. Hey, there's a listener.
A new listener.
I think I'd like to do the overpass tour.
Or when the campaign's over, we can gather up all the signs and paint over, you know, once they're done with them.
Right.
See if we can get them and we'll just put our stuff on them and put them back up.
You know, what we can do is make a stencil.
Yeah.
And then we can spray paint
them. Spray them and put them all back out.
Put them back. Yeah. I wonder what the right. We'll find out quick what the rules are.
That'll be a short learning curve like last week.
That's right. Last week's short learning curve on campaign signs.
We're doing a podcast from prison.
We're shutting the podcast down because we're broke. With all the, we have to use our podcast money on fines.
On fines. Well, it don't sound right. But I think you've come to the end of our election sign. This is the end of. This is the most political we'll get on that.
That's right. And hopefully we haven't riled any feathers or.
So who are you voting for, Peter?
That's right. Let's cancel this place.
Yeah.
Before we close, we want to thank everyone for listening. If this is your first time and enjoying the conversation, would you consider hitting the subscribe button on the platform you listen with? Also, if you're a longtime listener, thanks so much. Please give us a rating, leave us that review so others can easily find us and join the conversation.
And if you need some small signs made, you can go to Wonderfully Made Designs, which can make you a decal. So that's a business specializing in decals and t-shirts. Contact Casey on Facebook at Wonderfully Made Designs, 139.14. That's 139.14. Use code TSR10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I wonder how Casey advertises.
One way is through that. Don't sound right.
Yeah, I wonder about one other ways that are more successful. I wonder.
I wonder how much business we've garnered her. I don't know. We could ask. If any of you are interested in using us as your advertising campaign, we can put you in touch with our advertising manager, which is also our web designer. That would be Peter.
Hey, I'm here to help.
That Don't Sound Right is a production of TSR Podcast in conjunction with Campbell City Studios. I am your co-host and sound engineer. Cecil Peter is your other host and your web designer and your advertising manager. Camille's our barista. Emily does our graphic design. Ella does our Instagram. And Giorgio tests our merchandise. And Brent is our international brand ambassador. And as always, listener number one is
Scott.
So until next week, keep talking.
And stay curious. Mm-hmm.